We're joined now on the phone by Jane Pinsky, who is the director of the North Carolina Coalition for Lobbying and Government Reform. They've been following this case very closely, and they've been advocating for years for a change to the way North Carolina draws its congressional and state legislative district lines. So in this case, very close to them as well. Jane Pinsky joining us on the phone now. Jane, thanks for being with us today.
Oh, thanks, Aaron. It's always a privilege to get to talk to you.
So tell us about the significance of this ruling. I've been following this and many other gerrymandering cases making their way through the courts for years. What is particularly significant about this ruling that came down this week?
Well, what is particularly significant about this ruling is that it is truly a landmark ruling. It is the first time that a court has said that overly partisan gerrymandering or overly partisan redistricting violates our First Amendment right to free speech and freedom of association, that it violates Article 1 of the Constitution, which says that the citizens shall elect members of the House of Representatives, and that it takes away from citizens the protection, what we call the Equal Protection Clause, takes away from some citizens the equal protection of the law because they really don't have a choice. And you and I have talked in the past about the 40%+ of races that were uncontested in North Carolina in 2014 and 16. And so the judges have said, yes, there is such a thing as an overly partisan gerrymander.
And one of the things,
overly partisan redistricting.
Yeah. And one of the things that I remember you saying before that has really stuck with me, and speaking about the Equal Protection Clause, and you mentioned Article 1 there, the Constitution giving citizens the right to elect their representatives. We've had such a big pendulum swing back and forth in our elections in North Carolina for the past few cycles. 2012 was a pretty big Democratic year. 2014 was a huge Republican year. 2016 was kind of an even split, but leaning slightly towards Republicans. And in all three of those elections, the makeup of the U.S. Congress didn't change at all because our districts are so gerrymandered, it almost doesn't matter what who we vote for when we go to the polls. The results are going to be exactly the same every single time. And to say that that's a violation of that provision of the Constitution is an argument I hadn't heard before, but it makes sense that that would be the case.
Right. I mean, it's putting in the legislators' hands the choice of who's going to represent us in Congress and in the legislature. So it is a real problem.
So what is the next step here? The Republican lawmakers who lost this ruling have asked for a stay. There's going to be an appeal. Judges have given the plaintiffs a few days to respond to the request for a stay. But what can we sort of expect to see as the next steps as we get close to this filing period starting in February?
Well, the judges have given the plaintiffs till Tuesday to respond to conclusion that these are, that they didn't draw illegal districts. Mm. And we logically expect that the court that just said, yes, she did draw illegal districts is not going to change its mind.
Mm-hmm.
So the state will then appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. And they will ask the court for what's called an emergency stay, basically to stop the process from going forward. If that happens, then it will depend on whether the Supreme Court says, all right, we'll stay this for a week, or we'll stay this till we have a decision in the Wisconsin case. We'll stay this till we can hear this case. Mm-hmm. If they do indeed stay it, it's my understanding that the plaintiffs will ask that the North Carolina case be heard in March, along with a similar case for Maryland. Known as the Benefit case.
Mm-hmm.
But that's only one district. The amazing thing about the North Carolina case is there are plaintiffs from all 13 of the congressional districts who have filed and said, this affects me. And some of those plaintiffs are Democrats, and at least one of them is a Republican, saying, my voice can't be heard as long as as long as you're gerrymandering.
Mm-hmm.
And that one thing I do have to point out is that prior to 2011, when these maps were drawn, we had a pretty evenly balanced delegation in Congress. Some years it was 8-5, some years it was 6-7, some years it was 5-8, some years it was 7-6, but it was all pretty evenly split, just like the people of North Carolina are pretty evenly split between the two major parties. And since 2011, we've had 10 Republicans and 3 Democrats. And that's not good. Now, I do have to say the only reason the Democrats didn't do it when they were in charge was computers weren't as good as they are now. And it was harder to draw maps with the incredible precision. The way it's been done now.
Yeah. Speaking with Jane Pinsky again, North Carolina Coalition for Lobbying and Government Reform, nclobbyreform.org is the website if you want to go there and find out more information. And Jane, you mentioned the precision that is possible now with gerrymandering, with improved computer technology. You also mentioned that Supreme Court case out of Wisconsin, is it Gill v. Whitford is the name of it, that justices heard oral arguments on a little while ago, and they were awaiting the ruling from them at some point. And I know the computer precision is something that came into play there in those arguments as well. What are we thinking about in terms of the Supreme Court's ruling, what we're expecting, when we're expecting a ruling, and ultimately, is the outcome of this case in North Carolina entirely contingent on what the Supreme Court ends up ruling in Wisconsin, or is there a situation where the Supreme Court might say, yes, partisan gerrymandering in Wisconsin, but no in North Carolina, or we're not going to go along with the argument in the Wisconsin case, but there's a different argument here in North Carolina that we might go along with?
Right. Well, the case out of North Carolina, which argues the common cause case very heavily on the First Amendment and the election clause, the right of all of us to elect the members of the U.S. House of Representatives, was crafted, to be honest, to appeal to Justice Kennedy, because he is the swing vote in this discussion. It is likely that you will get Justice Ginsburg, Justice Breyer, Justice Sotomayor, and Justice Kagan to oppose a stay. And in a 1994 decision, Justice Kennedy said that he thought there was a First Amendment freedom of speech case to be made about partisan gerrymandering. So if he says, yes, there is such a case, and therefore I want to hear this case, he's going to deny the stay. So it will all depend on whether he thinks this is a case he wants to take. And it's a little like horse racing because, you know, there are all sorts of guesses as to whether, you know, Kennedy has been talking about retiring, whether he stayed on this court this session to hopefully get some partisan gerrymandering cases. They knew that they were going to hear Gill versus Whitford out of Wisconsin. And we think that Judge Wynn, in writing his opinion that this was a violation of the First Amendment, was trying to do whatever he could to make it interesting for Justice Kennedy to say, no stay, that we need to resolve this quickly. But the time is incredibly tight because, as you said, candidates are supposed to start filing on February 12th, and the filing is supposed to close on February 28th. And I don't think anybody has, at least in my memory, seen the Supreme Court act quite that fast.
Mm-hmm.
But anything is possible, and it's hard to say what maps we will be voting on the 2018 elections. The same is also true of our state legislative maps, because last Friday the court heard plaintiffs and defendants on the legislative maps on the grounds of racial gerrymandering, and we expect that they will have different maps within the next week. So it's entirely possible that we may not have a primary in May, and it may go later than that just because we don't know what districts people are going to be running from.
Speaking with Jane Pinsky again, nclobbyreform.org is the website. And Jane, before we let you go, we got to wrap up here in a minute, but before we let you go, all of this stems from the fact that lawmakers are responsible for effectively drawing their own district lines. And as you mentioned, this was a problem in the previous decade and the decade before that when Democrats were in control. It's certainly been a problem all through this decade with case after case after case and district line drawn, redrawn, and redrawn for a variety of different reasons, all of which underscores what you've argued, and I agree, is the need for a different way of drawing the district lines. So how can people get involved in the push for reform to the way that district lines are drawn?
We need everybody who's interested to join us in this process. They can email me, and it's j.pinsky@nclobbyreform.org. They can go to the coalition website. They can go to the website and gerrymanderingnow.org. And we will be glad to have them give us a call, and we can make some suggestions. It depends on where you live. If you're lucky enough to live in Orange County, and most of Chatham, your elected officials are good on this. But if you live elsewhere in the triangle, you may not be so lucky. So they need pressure. And the leadership in the North Carolina House and Senate needs pressure. We need to convince them that it is acting in their own self-interest to stop drawing maps that solely serve their political parties. One of our coalition partners says we need to convince them to take out an insurance policy that should the Democrats get back in control, we're not going to be back to Democrats doing to the Republicans what the Republicans did to the Democrats this time. So it requires most of all for citizens to speak out and make themselves heard, write letters to the editor as campaign season starts. Ask every candidate you see, how do you stand on redistricting reform? Do you believe there should be standards? What do you think the standards should be? And push as hard as you can. That this is a case where if we don't use our voices, we really are going to lose our voices.
NClobbyreform.org is the website. Go there and get more information. Jane Pinsky, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Take care.